KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies at 73 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy and windy today with a high of 86. Winds southwest at 15 to 30. A flash flood watch will be in effect for most of the listening area beginning this later on this evening and into tonight, and that'll last through Wednesday morning. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department reports three recent arrests. Sunday night, 39-year-old Robert Van Leuven of Thayer was arrested in Creston on charges of theft in the fourth and fifth degrees. He was later released on a $1,300 bond. Friday afternoon, 27-year-old Chanda Kyle of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center for possession of a controlled substance second offense. She was later released from the Adams County Jail on a $2,000 bond. And 22-year-old Allison Clear of Creston was arrested Friday afternoon for violation of a protection order. Clear was later released from the Adams County Jail on a promise to appear in court. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office Saturday said a Mills County man was arrested last Wednesday on drug and weapons charges following a traffic stop on the Fremont County K-9 unit near the intersection of Highway 59 and Nishna Road in Shenandoah. After deputies made contact with the driver of the vehicle, 40-year-old Robert Matthew Justice of Glenwood, they learned he was barred from driving and subsequently was placed under arrest. A probable cause search was conducted on the vehicle, and methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia was discovered. Deputies also located a hatchet concealed between the front seats of the vehicle. Justice was placed under arrest for driving while barred, habitual violator, possession of methamphetamine, second offense, possession of drug paraphernalia, and carrying weapons. He was being held over the weekend in the Fremont County Jail on a $5,000 cash or surety bond. One person died during a collision in Mills County Friday afternoon. The Iowa State Patrol's 63-year-old Vicki Byram of Sydney was driving a 2013 Subaru Impreza southbound and had left Interstate 29 at exit 42 when she failed to stop at the posted intersection with Bungie Avenue. Her car was hit broadside by a westbound 2019 Ram pickup driven by 23-year-old Joshua Gordon of Beaumont, Texas. The crash happened at around 4:40 p.m. Following the collision, the car came to rest in the south ditch and the pickup came to rest on the eastbound lane of Bungie Avenue. Byram died from her injuries at the scene. Gordon was not injured. Both drivers were wearing their seatbelts. A northern Iowa man riding a bicycle that was struck by a van in northwest Iowa early Saturday morning has died from his injuries. The Iowa State Patrol reports 57-year-old Kent Eugene Harfst of Webster City was riding a bicycle eastbound on Woodbury County Road D-12 at around 6:35 a.m. Saturday when he was hit from behind by a van driven by 19-year-old Aaron Albert of Mondamin. The accident happened near the crest of a hill in dark conditions. Following the collision, Harfst came to rest in the south ditch. He suffered critical injuries and was flown by air ambulance to Mercy One Medical Center in Sioux City, where he died. The driver of the van was not hurt. Friends say Harfst was the park and recreation director for the city of Webster City. He was also known for his numerous contributions of time to city projects and events. Elsewhere in the news, the Adair County Auditor's Office reports absentee ballots will be available beginning October 7th in the Auditor's Office for Adair, Bridgewater, Casey, Fontenelle, Greenfield, Orient, Stewart, and the Adair, Casey, Cam, Nottoway Valley, Orient, Maxburg, and West Central Valley school districts. Adair County voters may vote in the Auditor's Office between the hours of 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, 4 to 4:30 p.m., again beginning October 7th, or they may request a ballot to be mailed to them. The deadline to request an absentee ballot by mail is 5 p.m. Friday, October 25th. The last day to vote absentee in the auditor's office is Monday, November 4th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Absentee ballot request forms are available in the Adair County Auditor's Office, or they can be downloaded at the Secretary of State's website at www.sos.iowa.gov. Well, the president of the Iowa Association of Realtors says home sales across the state were up in August. John Godey says that's not the only good thing he sees in the numbers.
And just as importantly, year to date, everything is really statewide is stable. The sales are up slightly. The closings are up slightly. The listings are very stable.
He says sellers are earning a little more on average.
Price of a home and also at median price of home have gone up about $3,000. The median price is $169,000 statewide and up from $163,000, and then the average price is $197,000. Up from 190.
He says they normally expect an uptick in August as people try to move and buy homes before school starts. Godey said there is one factor they don't know about just yet.
we don't know about if any of the farm subsidies and the tariffs are going to make any difference at all. We haven't seen that yet. And of course, the flooding, we haven't seen the statewide figures being affected by the flooding, but in areas that are, they're down quite significantly as far as closed sales and new listings.
Cody says things have really been steady when you look at statewide numbers through the year thus far, but he says there are differences when you look at different regions.
West Central Iowa, their report year to date says that their median price is $95,000 for housing, and you can compare that with Des Moines at $232,000 or Iowa City at $248,000. You can see there's quite a bit of difference.
And he says it shows the differences in the growth of the urban areas of the state as compared to the rural areas.
And that's no secret. There's small towns that are getting smaller and smaller. There are a lot of school consolidations. And I guess that's a concern. And there's a lot of counties and cities are trying to work ways, incentives for people to stay where they are.
There were 5,398 homes sold in August compared to 5,363 in August of last year. The number of days homes are on the market this year was 55 in August compared to 53 last year. Well, the winds are blowing fair for America's wind power industry, making it one of the fastest growing U.S. energy sources. Land-based turbines are rising by the thousands across America, from the remote Texas plains to farm towns in Iowa. And the U.S. wind boom is now expanding offshore, with big corporations planning $70 billion in investment for the country's first utility-scale offshore wind farms. But there is an issue, and it's a big one. President Trump hates wind turbines. He calls them disgusting and ugly and stupid, denouncing them in hundreds of anti-wind tweets and public comments dating back more than a decade when he tried and failed to block a wind farm near his Scottish golf course. And those turbine blades. He says the noise causes cancer, Trump told a Republican crowd last spring in a claim immediately rejected by the American Cancer Society. Now wind industry leaders and supporters fear that the federal government under Trump may be pulling back from what had been years of encouragement for climate-friendly wind. The Interior Department surprised and alarmed wind energy supporters in August when the agency unexpectedly announced that it was withholding approval for the country's first off-scale wind shore farm project at $2.8 billion complex of 84 giant turbines. Interior Department spokesman Nicholas Goodwin said offshore energy remains an important component in the Trump administration's energy strategy, but the strategy includes ensuring activities are safe and environmentally responsible, Goodwin said in the statement. Wind power now provides a third or more of the electricity generated in some southwest and midwestern states. And New York, New Jersey, and other eastern states are already joining Massachusetts in planning for wind-generated electricity. On land, the wind boom is already well established. By next year, 9% of the country's electricity is expected to come from wind power, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. The wind energy already claims 114,000 jobs. That's more than twice the number of jobs remaining in U.S. coal mining, which is losing out to competition against cleaner, cheaper energy sources, despite the Trump administration's backing of coal. In Iowa, home to nearly 4,700 turbines that provided a third of the state's electricity last year, wind's popularity is such that Republican Senator Chuck Grassley had a drone filming him as he sat grinning atop one of the country's biggest wind turbines. Grassley had no patience for Trump's claim in April that wind turbines in Iowa, like Iowa's beloved ones, could cause cancer. He said back then that it was an idiotic concept. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.